Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NFT Morning Show. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Ready to talk about the ins and outs of the NFT market today. And wow, what a surprise. We have a special guest on stage early here, AJ Vaynerchuk. What's going on, AJ?
Yo, yo. Morning, everybody.
Good morning, man. Really excited to talk to you a little bit about Vayner Sports, if you're open to it, of course. Maybe you just came on stage to talk about degenning into other stuff. But yeah, Nifty Nick, this is our last day in the Ape Mansion. You know, what do you make of the last 30 days, buddy?
Giant waste of time. Lower your expectations for our NFT. Nothing's coming.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I'm just kidding. this has been great.
Thanks, Nick, for
very productive. I mean, I don't want to say anything about it. Like, I prefer, you know, I like to keep all accomplishments close to the chest and actually not publish because I'm a humble person.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, you know, just to kick the show off, I know Captain Kicks is going to knock out today's weather report. Kicks, what are you seeing there with the forecast?
Good morning. Yes, the amazing signal worked on preparing an amazing weather report. So let's get into it right now. So overnight volume, not looking too hot. I mean, it is a Tuesday. Tuesdays are usually slow, but we were at $70 million. So, I mean, we're definitely experiencing a pullback in volume. And that pullback in volume is somewhat to do also with the price of Ethereum, which has dropped as well to the $3,000 range. But let's hop into some specific projects to take a look at. So we have the Ape Collections, of course, Bored Ape Yacht Club at 109, Mutants at 26, Dogs down to 7. The anime lovers are happy to see Azuki get back up to a 27.5 and Beans at 5.5. Cool Cat around the 8 ETH range, CloneX at 18 ETH, and Muffers hanging above 3 ETH, World of Woman sitting at 8, World of Woman Galaxy sitting at 1.2. So blue chips mostly ranging. But we definitely had a lot of action over the last 24 hours. I'll start with PO's favorite, which is AcuTars. They're doing absolutely fantastic. I think that they came out of the gate at half an ETH. They're now pushing past a 1.5 ETH floor. So huge success there. Worldwide Webland announced more details about their token drop and additional things going on with their metaverse. Dingaling did a 240 ETH sweep, mostly on the penthouses and the megas. And I think that floor is like around maybe 1.8. Mebit had some volume overnight, but they're still sitting pretty low down at a 4 ETH. Prement Pass went on another absolute ripper overnight above a 1.5 ETH floor. And then we also have Imposters, which is the Elio Trades project that is sort of a knockoff of Among Us, but they're doing like lots of other things. I'm just trying to give people an easy way to understand what kind of game they're trying to build. It's supposed to be sort of like an Among Us, but they're promising other things as well. That is really close to pushing a 3 ETH floor. Even if you didn't have the whitelist to mint those, you could have got them the same day for 1 to 1.2. So we're seeing lots of opportunities on secondary, even if you missed out on primary sales. You could have gotten pre-mint at 0.3. It's 1.5. You could have got Imposters at 1. It's at 3. You could have got AcuTars at a half an ETH. It's at 1.5. So there's still lots of 3s and 5Xs out there. There's lots of new projects like Los Muertos, which is just an amazingly coordinated group of Twitter spammers at 0.5 ETH. So there's, even though the volume isn't great, there's still tons of opportunities out there to make money. So lots of wins still going around. You just got to be nimble and you got to be getting your money in good on the right projects.
It seemed like there were isolated wins when I looked at the floor prices of a few different projects this morning. Another project that's been doing very well is BFF Bracelets, which kind of plays into the access pass, or like, you know, the NFT as a pass kind of story, which is similar to VaynerSports. And we'll get into that with AJ in a second. Josh has his hand raised. What's going on, Josh?
Yeah, I wanted to take a moment to talk about something that I mentioned in the Discord a few times, which is Tiny Dinos. I think I mentioned them at like 0.18 and they're sitting at 0.419. What I find really interesting about this project, Freemint, I missed that, right? Like I bought the top a few days ago and then it pulled back for a day. But what's really interesting here is a day ago, the unique owners were like 2,000. And today there are 3,300 unique owners. And obviously people have many wallets, so I get it. I don't put too much weight in that. But this is starting to get distributed in a way where there's a narrative going on. And it seems like this is actually turning from a purely degenerate play to a still purely degenerate play that's going up. So thought I'd mention that one.
Yeah, I mean, you called it, Josh. You texted me, I think, two or three nights ago about it. I was already sleeping, and clearly I slept on the project as well, if you catch my drift. Didn't get into it and missed out on that pump. But yeah, I mean, AJ Vaynerchuk, man, how you doing? Really happy to have you on the show. And I'm curious, you know, what's going on with VaynerSports right now? You guys had a monster announcement on Monday, which is particularly exciting for me, considering I'm a moon god in the Micah Johnson ecosystem. But yeah, happy to have you here, man.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's been a busy 8 days, I guess you'll call it, and obviously the lead up to it. You know, we launched last Tuesday, and, you know, admittedly it was bumpy. I take accountability for some of the mistakes that we made in terms of strategy and approach. But I think that, you know, we weathered the storm for those 24 to 36 hours. We issued a massive refund of just shy of 200 ETH. And yeah, like you mentioned, you know, for us, I think as long as we can deliver on the promise of the past and the utility of the past, we'll be in a good spot. And, you know, one of those aspects is the idea of these mints that can be had in a similar vein to what my brother does with GiftGoat or what Kevin Rose does with Proof. And I think we had the perfect first launch partner. You know, Micah is an incredible artist. The fact that he's a former Major League Baseball player is a perfect tie-in to the fact that we are this sports and utility pass. And we sit at the intersection of traditional sports and NFT land, and yeah, feeling good and hyped to see. I also noticed that uptick for Akutars, and as somebody that's been a collector of Micahs for a while now, I was super happy to get my airdrop of two randoms and two OGs. And yeah, that's kind of where things sit, and we're just building.
Very nice, man. Yeah, I've been saying for a while, you know, I come from Nifty Gateway, as does Captain Kicks, and that's why we were aware of Micah. Mm-hmm. So I've been holding Micah's stuff for, at this point, over a year. So it's they're the only NFTs that I have long-term cap gains on. And I try to remind people of that because I'm like, how many of you guys have long-term cap gains on NFTs, you know? But, you know, I've been saying he's the most slept-on creator in the NFT space because I just viewed it as such a strong project and it didn't get attention. But now that, you know, he's entered the collectible space, you know, couldn't be more excited about the attention that it is getting. And then when I found out, you know, you guys were partnering with them, I thought that that was a slam dunk too. I'm really excited about all these different utility-based NFTs right now. Like, I think a lot of people are a little, you know, turned off that the degen side of the NFT space is slowing down a little bit. But I'm so excited about Premint, VaynerSports. You know, like I just bought this Lyrical Lemonade, the carton, and I've been talking about that. You know, when I look at like your NFT, for example, VaynerSports, I feel like you can get so creative with how you deliver value to the holders because you have access to, you know, resources that other projects in the NFT space just don't have.
Yeah, I like to think so. You know, I think that this concept of layering a NFT utility on top of an existing business is really fascinating to me. And to your point, we've got 35 employees, over 100 professional athletes, extremely strong connections with senior executives up and down and across the vertical of sports. And I think what we're going to be able to do from a utility perspective, not only with this idea of the NFTs in the vein of, you know, you get a free Aku-related NFT if you're a VaynerSports Pass holder and other things that we can do with other artists and projects, but, you know, the real life experiences, the real life utility of, you know, going to the Super Bowl, going to the World Series, going to international UFC events, going to the World Cup, but then also what are the partnerships that we can strike with the content providers, the apparel companies up and down and across the vertical of sports. So yeah, I feel really confident. I'm excited. Sports and NFTs are my two biggest passions. You know, Pio, you mentioned something about long-term cap games. I guess a brag that I get is that I have hundreds of NFTs. I have long-term cap games, including the pumps that I have and things like that. And so, you know, I'm somebody that did, I'm not an outsider that came in and decided to drop an NFT project because I saw the opportunity. I'm a native. I, you know, bought my first Bitcoin in 2013, bought my first Ethereum in 2014. Our fund that my brother and I have did Coinbase's Series B in 2015. So I feel pretty good about where we sit and where I sit as an operator.
Yeah, you guys have been in the game, you know, for a while. I know there's a story of your brother being on a Zoom call with like 50 people, and he just like takes the mic and tells everyone, buy CryptoPunks. And they probably thought he was crazy at the time, but obviously, you know, who's got the last laugh?
Right.
Yeah, I've been talking to like, you know, people in the fashion space. You know, one trend this year I didn't see coming was the fashion space exploding in NFTs. I thought it was going to be gaming and I thought it was going to be music at some point this year. But fashion's coming out party has been really interesting for me. And when I think about sports, I definitely didn't see sports coming either. I'm sure, you know, you guys have a crazy roadmap that you can't talk about and all these plans in place because obviously you're running like a real enterprise. But when I think about sports, right, like I'm an MMA fan and I know that you have a lot of connections to the MMA space. You represent some huge, you know, UFC athletes. I just think like you can do such cool things where just like your brother airdropped the VCon tickets to the VFriends holders, I feel like you could, and I'm not, you know, trying to say that like this is what you're going to do or this is something you should do, but a cool thing would be like if you airdropped random rarity tickets to a big UFC event to holders. And I know you have 15,000 holders, so the logistics are tough, but some people get like, you know, cage side seats, some people get nosebleed seats, and that's like the same dynamic as a random airdrop from like 10KTF or something like that. You know, some are randomly more valuable than others, and you can either sell it as an NFT the same way your brother's doing with the VCon tickets, or it's redeemable for the actual ticket so that no matter what, people get value. I just think it's so cool, and I feel like it's probably going to come, but you know, who knows who the first person is that implements it.
Yeah, I mean, I would tell you that that's something that we've actively discussed. Obviously, based on VFriends and the infrastructure that we have internally, we understand those dynamics. We've executed against that dynamic, and I think it'd be easy for us to integrate. So yeah, that's very much on the table. I think another part that I'm excited about with Vayner Sports Pass that is probably not clear on the surface and really only clear if you're living and breathing our Discord is that I'm a massive fan of game theory. If you really look at my Twitter and the things that I gravitated towards the most and things that I've been around, like I'm a huge Wolfgame guy. I'm a huge Pixel Vault guy. If you look at book games from the VFriends world, that has a lot of that dynamic. I'm somebody that grew up playing MMORPGs. I was a diehard and still remain poker player. So I think that's another aspect that people are probably not seeing and I get that I'm excited by is that intersection of the utility in the world of sports, like you mentioned, but how does game theory play a role and what are those dynamics? Because if you look at it, I have a lot of flexibility with this in terms of how we rolled out the pass. Whereas, you know, a lot of these other membership passes, every NFT is the same, but with us, we've got different colors. We've got different icons, different sports, different number of icons. I can really play and I'm enjoying the fact that I have a playground in front of me.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredibly cool. And I think a lot of people saw those icons on the Vayner Sports passes and they thought it was interesting. I'm going to throw to Nick and Josh in a second. One last thing I wanted to say is like, I'm seeing a pattern, right? Where you look at VFriends hit the floor when Ethereum was, I think, you know, in the 2000s. So it was a very reasonable entry price. Anybody could have just bought in right there. That's probably because a lot of your brother's audience and your audience, you know, needed to be onboarded to NFTs. I mean, that was a long time ago, either way, whatever. Then you look at the book games, right? So I immediately bought the book games. I bought 240 books. I wish I bought, you know, 2,400 at this point, right? But, and that was when me and Nick first started working together. And I remember Nick was like kind of raising a little bit of an eyebrow at the quantity of books that I bought. And I was like, what are you talking about, man? This is a no brainer. Then the book games come out and—
Hey, thanks for putting my business out there. I really appreciate it.
Hey, look, you put it on wax, man. You put it on the show. So it's not like it's private info. And then when book games came out, they sat at like, I don't know, a point 18 floor or something. I actually bought some more at some point, 25. And then what a surprise, into the pump for VFriends 2. They went to north of a half ETH. And then I look at Vayner Sports, right? And full disclosure, right? I'm talking about a project that I own like 14 of these things across a couple wallets, right? So I am a bag holder here. But like, you know, there was the little mishap with the mint, and you've taken full responsibility. It's also a really hard thing to do right now, is to figure out the best way to roll out a super in-demand project and not have a gas war or gas issues. And I felt like, because I didn't participate in that, even though you gave refunds, so it wouldn't have mattered, but even though I didn't participate in that, I benefited from eyes being taken off the project and being able to get in sub 0.4. And I almost feel like this is the third time we're seeing this happen with your ecosystem. And it's like, do I think that the same thing isn't going to happen as the first two times? You know, so I just feel like...
Well, I feel like it's one of those you can't win scenarios. If AJ made it like all whitelist,
yes,
right, and there was no gas wars, then everyone would have been like, oh, it's just the inner circle making all the money. The average person didn't have any chance. And this is like a completely new space. Like, technology in this space isn't easy. It's like very easy for things not to go right. But like, I personally like that it was an accessible mint for anybody to participate in. And it's not like AJ set the gas to 3,800 Gwei. It's not like he put a gun to people's heads and said, this is what you need a mint at. You know what I mean? And I know plenty of people that got in early and they minted at 60 Gwei. You know what I mean? This is just literally like the invisible hand of the market going bonkers.
Yeah, no, well, Kicks. Yeah. I appreciate you saying that. I really didn't want to do an allow list for exactly what you described, but in hindsight, I wish I did an allow list, if I'm being honest, right? Because, you know, I think it was rocky and we did have issues. I was really concerned about the inside baseball dynamic of an allow list, and I didn't want to do the grinding culture. And it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't business. Like, Kevin with Moonbirds put out a video like the next day, an 8-minute video. And in the first 2 minutes, he talks about me and Gary and Vayner Sports Pass, and he's super nice. You know, I've known Kevin for 15 years, close friend. But then he highlights how Moonbirds is going to go, and then he gets hammered by the community because now it's all going to be botted and inside baseball and this and that. And so it's tough. I'm not complaining. You know, it's part of what, you know, it takes to do. If you want to be a leader in the space, you have to take your lumps. The one thing I'll note, this isn't public, so a little bit of alpha here, just to show like the demand of this project when it first hit, we had 21,000 uniques on our website in the first minute of launch. So it was an in-demand project. Gas war, I regret. Allow list would have been better. I wish I did it in hindsight, but what Kicks just described is why I didn't do it, and lesson learned, and just thinking about a lot of different stuff for what, you know, VFriends has a small portion that was set to be a public mint that's being, you know, looked at and worked on. And so, you know, it's all
new. Yeah, next time do it for pre-mint, and then you'll pump both of my bags at the same time.
Right. Hey, listen, I talked to Brendan. Brendan was super nice. He reached out. By the way, somebody cut me off. I don't want to make this entire thing about Vayner Sports Pass. Somebody kicked me off the stage. Let's stop talking about it in a minute. But, you know, Brendan was super nice. He reached out. He was like, hey, man, saw the lumps. Like, let's talk. And, you know, we plan on doing a lot of different things for pass holders in terms of, you know, allow lists and tickets and raffles and this, that, and the other thing. And so – we're going to be doing a lot of our stuff through pre-mint in the future.
So, very nice. Yeah, Nick, go ahead.
Well, you're speaking to a biased audience because a lot of the people on stage are holders of your NFT, myself included, although it's very...
Yeah, I got no issue if you want to share more alpha on it. Totally fine.
I got alpha. I'm in. Let's do it.
we're interested. Josh is actually overexposed on your project, but
completely. I text Josh once a day, being like, "Hey, like, can you sell some? I feel uncomfortable." He's completely over leveraged.
So I've mortgaged my house. The thing that's funny is I put a big bet in. But the reality, and we've texted about this, AJ, I didn't mint a single fucking pass. I took a look at it. You and I are friends. I said, no, I'm not spending like 0.45 Ethereum to mint a 0.15 Ethereum pass. It's not a shot at you or the project.
No, you're right.
To me, I hear a lot of like shit of like, oh yeah, like you should have done this, should have done that. Well, no one had a gun to their head. Like, I'm almost as bullish as you can get on like you and your ecosystem. And I sat there and said, nope, like I'll just miss the mint. I'll buy one. And after that happened, I bought 50 plus, right? So it's like, I don't feel like it was, you had to do it. I just feel like a lot of people did it without a lot of thought behind it. And maybe they're trying to flip and that's their prerogative. But if you're willing to take that risk, you know the risk, you're paying 4x the mint price for the gas, like that's a judgment call. It's not a forced play.
Yeah, Josh, but you're an experienced NFT collector and participant. I think something that we need to be mindful of, and my brother and I are mindful of, is that there is a nice chunk of people that minted VFriends the first time or minted Vayner Sports Pass that, like, they're not nearly as experienced. They primarily only participate in Gary-related projects, and that is the difficulty of the blockchain and why the gas war was such a negative, is that people just, to your point, if you're an experienced person in this space and you're disappointed that you spent 0.4 in gas and then 0.15 on the NFT and the floor is 0.4 and you're mad about that, you don't have a leg to stand on in my book. But if you're somebody new to the ecosystem and you didn't understand how gas works and the gas war, I have empathy for that.
I completely agree. The thing I was going to ask is actually more related to the project itself. Someone had mentioned maybe on our stage or in our Discord that the various properties, they were trying to say that the properties don't matter. Is that true?
No, that doesn't matter. Not true. Excuse me. Whoa. Major faux pas or misfit. the properties do matter. Like I said, with the game theory piece, for the confusion that might have happened is that for the very first partner mint with Micah, they do not matter. So whether you have a hollow with four icons or a yellow with one icon, everybody's going to have a fair experience in regards to the Micah Johnson NFT partner mint later this month. After that, all bets off. Colors matter. Icons matter. All that matters. The only thing that I'll be very honest doesn't matter yet, but I'm going to leave myself the flexibility for it to matter at some point, is the background color. Like if you have a purple card with a red background, the red background doesn't matter, at least not in like the first few months of things that I have planned out.
Well, I mean, it's awesome. And also I remember when we had done a podcast last year, you were going through all the cards that you had collected.
Yes. Yes.
And so it just seems like, okay, well, this is so naturally, well, A, congratulations, but B, I think like, it just seems so natural, and it's awesome that you now have this project in your business, basically, that you're able to execute on and deliver value as someone who's like experienced in the NFT space. I've bet on it. I've been saying that I want to bet on more. All my ETH is deployed, although I'm about to. I've just collected some, so your project is one of the top ones that on my list at the moment.
Well, I'm humbled, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And AJ, I know you buy a lot of NFTs. What have you been buying, you know, that's outside of your ecosystem? Did you get in on pre-mint, anything?
No, I love that. Thanks for – I do have a pre-mint NFT. I wish I had a lot more. I'm a big fan of Drift. So, you know, I think I bought five of the first day out photos and then maybe like two of the videos. So that was something that I scooped up. And then beyond that, I, like a lot of other people, I think are sitting on some liquidity for some things that we're waiting on. So, for example, I'm a very proud Proof collective holder. I own two Proofs.
Oh, which damn.
Puts me into a very small category, as I understand it, because I think, like, if you look at the 1,000, you know, it says that there's 931 owners. Now, people can split it amongst wallets, et cetera, but – so I've got two Proofs. So I'm sitting there and I enter the Moonbirds raffle on top. So I definitely have, you know, some ETH set aside for Moonbirds, and I may look at secondary early after the fact as well. So I've got some ETH waiting on the sideline for this weekend there. And then this is pretty interesting and this is real. So with book games, I actually only bought 12 books. And here's why. I knew what was going on. I was a part of the plan. And so I felt like it was unethical for me to go out and buy, you know, thousands of books. I should have and I would have, but I just felt like I would get beat up for it and it wasn't the right thing to do ethically. So I only bought 12 books. And then I proceeded. If you look, I would love for somebody to look at it. I don't know if anybody traded and bought book games worse than me. I'm pretty confident I bought the absolute top pretty much the entire time. So I own 65 book game tokens. I bought half of those like in the week lead up to the snapshot, which is the top. And then I won like 14 spots on the allow list. So I've got some ETH waiting to buy my 14 Series 2 VFriends on the allow list there. And then, yeah, I mean, I think the big thing too, as far as my own personal liquidity, is about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I spent the most ETH in a single day that I ever have in my entire life on two NFTs. I bought another proof for, I think it was 37 ETH, which is crazy to think that it was at 37 ETH like 5 or 6 weeks ago. And then I bought another gift goat from the VFriends project, my brother's project, for about, I think it was 45 ETH. So, you know, that was a place where I dropped 80 ETH in one shot, which sapped up most of my liquidity along with the major amounts of taxes that I had to pay. And so that's kind of where I'm at in NFT land and buying other things.
Nice. And one more question, then I'll throw to Jesse, who has his hand raised. Did you get in on like the Azuki situation at all, or any of those anime pumps?
No, I got completely fucked that up, for lack of a better term. I completely missed. I'm super happy for the people that won on that front. But yeah, I've got no exposure, zero, to Azuki or any other of the anime stuff.
If you saw, like, you know, Azuki got brought to us at like 2 ETH, right? Like, one of the artists, Arena, who speaks on this show from time to time, shout out to Arena, she makes really good buys of collectibles, and she bought an Azuki at 2 ETH right when it came out. We were like, whoa, that's like kind of a wild bet. Like, if you see something like that, AJ, what kind of research do you put in to figure out, is this worth, you know, my capital?
Yeah, great question. I'd rather buy projects later at this point. You know, I had some really good fortune of being early, and like I minted, I think, 14 World of Women. That was awesome. You know, I've had some wins as a minter, but I typically like for things to be a little bit more established. I have the good fortune of having the financial ability to wait a little bit and be more patient. I guess the most recent thing in the last like 3 months or so that falls into a similar category is Doodles. I didn't buy my first Doodle until 2 ETH. And in terms of the research, I'm somebody that really likes to bet on the jockey first and foremost. So when I saw Doodles, you know, I dove in on Toast and Evan and et cetera, you know, Poopy, et cetera. So, you know, team first, love their background in terms of, you know, crypto kitties and just being OGs in the space. And then honestly, with Doodles, I love the art. I'm a big fan of pastels. If people know the apparel brand Bathing Ape, I was the kid 17, I can't believe to say, but 17, 18 years ago, going to Soho, New York to Bathing Ape and buying pastel hoodies and pastel sneakers. And so it was just one of those things where 1 + 1 = 11 for me in terms of, I love the founding team and their background. And I just absolutely loved the art and the pastel dynamic and the happy nature of the project. And so I believe my bag in Doodles is, it's not huge. I think I have 8 Doodles. And then our fund that my brother and I have, we buy some art. We actually own an ape doodle, which is dope.
Not and huge. Then, most people don't have 8 doodles, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, no, for sure. But that's through my fund, right? That's not my own personal bankroll.
Oh, got it.
You know, our fund owns the ape doodle. And then I personally bought my first one at 2. I then bought my next 2 at 4. I actually made a bad trade, at least economically. I traded 2 clone X's for a doodle. With I saw K Dean in here with somebody that was in the chat before. I think he's still here. Yep, there he is. And then I bought another one at like 8, another one at like 10, and another one at 11 or something like that. So I've got some good ones though. I've got one with like a king crown, one with a blue check mark face, a few really clean ones. Like, I'm happy with my stash, and I think that's a good example of, you know, PO, your question of how I kind of evaluated and attacked it.
Absolutely, Jesse, you have a question for AJ?
Yeah, a couple things. Just on obviously the sports NFT crossover, huge market. I think people see a lot of, you know, similarities in the kind of consumer base there. But you know, I'm a big believer in Web 2.5 more than Web 3. You know, I think it's hard to bridge the gap. And you know, that's why I like people that have like a direct to consumer background. You guys obviously have media. I'm wondering, in terms of like the ticket thing or bridging the gap to in real life events, you know, everybody hates Ticketmaster, right? Yeah. It's ripe for disruption. It's like they take their cut. It's like a perfect thing for Web3, but we're not at scale yet. So I'm wondering I'm assuming you're going to need to partner. Like, I work with Bright Moments DAO. They kind of try to do the in real life gallery thing? Like, what friction do you see there? What are the pain points? Like, this is not going to happen in the next month or two. Like, what are you guys thinking there?
Yeah, I see a lot of friction. I see a lot of pain points, if I'm being honest. And just have to have the stomach for it. I think to your point, it's going to be a very Web 2.5 scenario. You know, it's going to be a situation where we're going to rely on pre-mint for any sort of raffle, because obviously we can't give away 15,555 tickets to the Super Bowl or the World Series or the World Cup. And so, you know, that we're going to have that Web 3.0 dynamic in terms of making sure that's a fair opportunity for our holders. And then the Web 2 or Web 1 in some instances dynamic is that we're going to have to deal with physical inventory of tickets. We're going to try to go direct to the event and carve out allocations. You know, that is probably more realistic 6, 12, 18 months from now, and for certain sports more than others. And then, you know, there's some instances where, like I talked about, the best way I'll answer this is that the fact that the team behind the Vayner Sports Pass, this NFT project, is not just a bunch of I don't want to disparage anybody. Let me take a step back. The fact that we are 35 people that represent 150 athletes that have hundreds, literally hundreds, probably nearly 200 years of sports experience amongst our 35 employees, which means we have 100 plus years of networking and relationships with the CEOs of teams, the commissioners of leagues, the CMOs of teams, the CMOs of events. I think it's going to be a huge conduit for us to be able to break barriers and reduce friction and create great experiences. It's not going to happen in the next week or the next month, but that's how I see it. And I think, you know, to the point before, I think the fact that we're layering on this project on top of a team and a business that has existed for 5+ years and has all this experience and all this network is substantial.
I kind of want to piggyback on what you're saying, which is what just stands out so much heavily or about your project, which is why I've been like, this is so undervalued.
Yeah, Nick's telling me he wants to buy it, then he doesn't buy it.
No, I bought
it. How many you buy? How many you pick up?
Okay, well, we don't need to measure size here. That doesn't matter. but ultimately, I'm going to put more money into it. That's all I can say. But the bottom line is that, like, with the experience coming from VaynerMedia and now having Vayner Sports, you're, like, uniquely positioned to be a conduit for onboarding athletes into the NFT space, facilitating partnerships with other people to onboard them into the NFT space. And we're so early in that process, like so early. This is
Can I jump in and give a little alpha based inspired in exactly what you said?
Yeah.
So pretty cool moment for Vayner Sports Pass as a company is that on Saturday, and Pio, I know you're an MMA fan, so hopefully you caught this. This past Saturday night, our client Aljamain Sterling fought in the co-main event against Petr Yan in the unification fight for the bantamweight division, because Aljamain was the current champ, but he was on the sideline for 14 months with a neck injury, and Yan was the interim champ. And so they fought in a rematch. And, you know, it was really cool in the Discord where we were watching the main, you know, we were watching the Habsmat Gilbert Burns fight together. You know, we had this like watch party in the Discord, which was cool. Sports was this unifying event for our NFT community. It was really cool to see like our members and our pass holders saying like, oh, I was actually rooting for Yan like going into the fight. But now that Aljamain's a client and I'm a Vayner Sports pass holder, I'm rooting for Aljamain. That was cool. Or people saying, I've never watched UFC in my entire life, but I'm watching now because of Vayner Sports Pass and Aljo. Aljo goes on. He was an underdog in the fight and wins the unified belt. He's now the undisputed bantamweight champ. That's awesome. People are exploding on the Discord. We're having fun. And then to the point you just made, I spoke to Aljo, you know, shortly after the fight, but then I spoke to him again on Monday. Aljo is actually coming on to our Discord later today, and I sent him a Vayner Sports Pass. We kept 555 for our clients, so I sent Aljo his first ever NFT. Aljo did have a Discord I helped him set up previously, so we have Aljo syncing his Discord, and he's going on Collabland and verifying that he's a holder. And he's going to jump into the Holders Only channel today. And if you're an MMA fan, you're about to have an exclusive private back and forth with the bantamweight champ 4 days after he became the undisputed champ. I think that's a really cool intersection of the utility for that intersection of NFTs and sports. And to your point, Aljamain, you know, me and him having a conversation, me being able to go deeper with him on what NFTs are, for him to get his first NFT, I think it's a pretty big deal pushing the industry forward.
Absolutely. And I feel like he's a cool guy. He has a podcast. He understands business outside of UFC. I'd be worried if I pop into your Discord, though, while he's in there. Am I signing up for a back take? I just feel like he's going to take my back and just tap me out. You know what I mean?
Listen, he is the king. He is the king of the backpack. So everybody's got to be careful. That's why we're doing it virtually. I'm worried about him doing in-person events. He might choke some people out. And by the way, shout out to Nick. I saw that cop 30 seconds ago. He's putting his money where his mouth is.
I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, come on now, man.
You had to talk to Nick directly to get him to buy AJ.
Listen.
I already was in there.
My brother wrote the thank you economy. I believe in hand-to-hand combat. I will do one-on-one sessions to convince people of the vision and show the dedication.
AJ, what you don't fully realize is that this is Nick's like third buy of the year. So this is really, really actually significant.
Yes, yeah, this is a DJ show. I was curious. Differences between you, AJ, and Gary. Obviously, you know, you're both doing your own thing professionally. Gary, obviously, his identity is almost like he's a DJ to his core, right? I mean, like he still sounds like he's smoking a Newport on Queens Boulevard, selling like members only jackets out the back of a van. I mean, whether it's YouTube or CNBC, right? He gets so excited when he starts talking about like buying stuff off eBay and reselling
no doubt.
It. And you look and sound like you walked out of Y Combinator. I don't know what happened there. I'm wondering, in terms of the DJ show, who like, he seems like the guy who would just like randomly, he's a DJ. You'd keep some like 10 Franks in his wallet. You seem a little more disciplined. Who do you think is the better trader? And how many hidden wallets do you have so you can buy stuff like Franks without people knowing?
Awesome question. I love that. And I'm dying laughing at the Y Combinator comment. By the way, don't get it twisted. I'm a DJ. Go through my wallet. There's some shit there. diehard sports car collector, hardcore garage sailor, eBay flipper. It's how I made all my money in high school and college. So that DJ's in me. That's why I'm here. Nick, nice. I see you got another one. Thanks, brother. Wow. 4 or 5 of the year for Nick. Huge.
AJ, people don't realize that we talk shit about DJing all day, just like everyone else in private chats. Like,
right.
They don't know we're doing the same shit.
I keep it, you know what? I try to keep it low key. You know, my whole career, you know, I'm 35. I've been business for 13 years, all of which with my brother. My whole career has been my brother being the front of the house and me being the back of the house, right? We built our ad agency together, VaynerMedia. We took it from 200 to 600 people in about 5 years. And it was Gary on the road, landing clients, speaking, building his brand, and making magic happen. And me back at home, making sure that we weren't building a house of cards, right? You know how easy it is for a company to explode when you go from 200 to 250 people in 24 months? And your number two is 24 years old. Like, so I wasn't really out and center. I think last week I got more at replies after launching the Vayner Sports Pass than I probably did in the previous 5 years. Like, I'm a pretty behind the scenes cat. I'm an operator, but this combination of sports and NFTs was just in my wheelhouse. But back to the collecting question, better trader. We're so different. It's like we're 95% the same, 5% different. And then the other thing too is Gary's in an impossible spot. I have so much empathy for my brother in the sense that he really he can't win. He buys a project, thousands of people attack it in a positive way. And that, like, he can't do anything. If he has a secret wallet, people are going to freak on him. By the way, I have zero secret wallets. Again, I'm so worried about reputation. Our last name is everything. It's all we care about. Like, I can't have a secret wallet. I'm AJV.eth. You can look at my wallet. And then I think it's cold AJV. Cold is my username for my cold wallet. Those are the only two places wallets exist, period. And so I think that we're both pretty damn good. I got to give him the nod. He showed me CryptoPunks. He brought me into this space. So that's a big deal. I've had some really good picks. I don't know. We have a lot of it's a tie to me. We're different.
Can I say something about AJ?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, AJ, man. So I've known known AJ and Gary for almost 16 years. And I don't know any better or more legitimate entrepreneurs than those two. And I just want to, like, let everybody know that AJ is fucking legit. And I just am so excited about what he's doing. I'm so excited what Gary's doing. I just think you deserve all the credit and all the props, brother.
Man, that means a lot, Ry. That means a lot, brother. I appreciate you. And by the way, while we're on stage and we're sharing love, my first ever tech conference ever was the Future of Web Apps in London.
Hell with
yes, Ryan Rand. We were all at that thing, man.
Yep.
So fun.
Best times. And Ry, the best part is like those times. Very much the last year felt like the same thing. It was deja vu to me, right? Like those first couple of years of, you know, Future Web Apps and Web 2.0. And then, you know, we had 13 years of kind of like status quo. But the last like 18 months feels just like me going to London and meeting Nick and meeting you and meeting Kev and all that stuff.
Oh, amen. Almost times two. It's even more exciting.
Also from the perspective that like everybody's 15 years smarter and better and well networked. You know what I mean? Like it's just
we're adults now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I met you, do you remember what the first year Gary was at Future Web Apps by chance? Was that 07?
I think it was 07. It might.
So I think Gary's first year was 07. That means my first year was 08. So I mean, I was 21 when I met you.
We knew nothing. It's just bonkers.
I knew nothing. Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna hop off stage. I just want to give AJ the props he deserves.
Hey, absolutely. I appreciate you, brother. And beyond hype. Not that you need more hype for this. I don't even want to say it, but like so excited for Moonbirds and what you and Kev and the team have cooked up. And I know you guys are gonna crush it. So I'm fired up.
Yo, I also believe that AJ deserves respect, but I'm trying to figure out where was my respect that I deserve. You know, that's what I'm always looking out for. It's like, dude, I deserve respect and acknowledgement all the time. Just kidding. But
that's important. Real quick. That is important.
I'm just fucking around.
It's true. But Nick, you also didn't come out and say I was the greatest of all time like Ryan did.
I only bought three more of your.
But you have bought some passes. So I also have known Nick and have loved Nick for 15 years. And we did. Wait, Nick, I think I gave you some love on your podcast.
No, you did. Definitely.
All right.
I'm just fucking around.
AJ, are you holding the portals? You got any portals in your closet?
You know what? I don't, but I'm going to buy them right now.
Oh, shit. AJ's buying portals, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go.
AJ's sweeping the floor of portals.
Just pick up like 100. Just go for it. You know, you don't want to hold back.
Nick, just do a one-for-one for AJ until we match the same floor price. Just go back and forth.
Yeah, I don't think Nick wants that smoke.
Look, I'm not doing it more out of ethical reasons, you know. It's just more of an ethical thing. It has nothing to do with the amount of gunpowder that I have over here. I literally just emptied as much as I could. I had 1.5 ETH in this wallet. So there you go. I bought three more. I'll sell some more stuff and eventually buy more. This has been a top one. I only got two of those pre-mints after Josh and Pio were going off on it. I mean, basically, like, I've never seen a group of grown men get more excited over something than they were over pre-mint the other day. I mean, it was like nauseating for two. But here we are. They're rich, and I'm only.
Yeah, if pre-mint keeps going up any higher, Nick's going to bill me for my stay at 8 Mansion over the weekend.
Vicky, I let you on stage. You've been supporting, you know, definitely Gary for a long time. Do you also support AJ, or are you just like, nah, I'm good?
I've got to clarify for anyone listening. I don't support him financially, obviously. I don't know. The sport one, the weird thing is, for those that don't know, I absolutely love boxing and MMA, and it's kind of like a weird kind of thing. I think like beating people up is like, I don't know, I just love it. So it probably sounds like it's something that I should have, but I just missed out with obviously everything that was going on. But obviously, yeah, big into the book games, excited for V Friends Series 2. That's going to be a cool one because being a spec holder, obviously I know that I'm going to get a different card coming out. So, yeah, and I think the games thing, I think it's sometimes hard to keep up with when you've got so much going on. I mean, that's my only thing, is like with all these games that all the projects play. Totally. You kind of need an intern to be able to tell you like what's coming up, what you're going to miss out on, because especially running a normal job alongside, it's like... Yeah, it's tough to try and keep up.
Yes. Vicky, to your point, I'm really cognizant of the fact that, like, the promise of the Vayner Sports Pass is I want to be at the intersection of NFT and sports fan. And I am cognizant of not going so far down the path where your sports fan that wants to win Super Bowl tickets and watch fights with our community doesn't get overwhelmed and really turned off by the layers and layers of game theory. So it's a really important balance, and a huge part of what I need to focus on is striking the right balance and walking that line.
Can't wait to see us. I'm excited for you guys are all like building something. And I know I've heard Ryan speak as well. And it's truly exciting, is because obviously most people that are outside of the ecosystem don't really realize. I'm old enough to be, you know, before computers. So I can see what everyone's building. And although a lot of the new people just kind of can't see it yet.
No doubt. Hey, important update. I have secured 3 Nifty portals.
Oh, shit. That's what I'm talking about. I don't have my sound effects, AJ. I'd be doing that blowhorn. You know, the hip-hop blowhorn sound? That's what I'd be going for. But thank you, man. That's so awesome.
No, I think, you know, for me personally, quick little degen thing. I used to buy, like, one of a project, and then that common sentiment that, like, you really want to buy two. And I really started doing that. And then I was like, wait a minute. Like, I'm getting attached to these two. So my new rule of thumb when I'm kind of, like, dipping my toe in a project and starting to explore – is at least 3, because I get attached to my NFTs in a way I don't get attached to anything else.
Well, we appreciate it, man. Nick, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say you should definitely hop in the Discord now that you're an owner of it. You can authenticate in there, but there goes the ham horn for Pia. I don't know if that was loud enough.
Shit in the Discord, that's a big thing, AJ. You get in there, talk a lot of shit, and then bounce out. Very good play.
I'm jumping in right now. I'm a multitasker.
Hell yeah, AJ. Well, I mean, dude, thanks so much for coming and you know, spending this time with us. You know, obviously we're already holders. It sounded like Nick doubled down a little bit this show, so that was awesome. But really can't wait to see the utility.
We need more though. I definitely would like to expand this to 10, especially at this price. It's been sitting at 0.3. I guess I have entries now at 0.4. No, most of them are all around the same price. I love it. I mean, I'm just excited to see. AJ is a builder, man. Like they've been building for years. We've a demonstrable builder. They've grown Vayner Media, and now to move on to Vayner Sports and to be at this perfect time in this perfect place just seems like an absolute fucking no brainer. So like, why would I not? I've been saying for a while now. I lost so much. I lost probably $20,000 on our show over the first month and a half of our show, just buying stupid stuff. And after continuing that pattern for a period of time, I was just like, this is dumb. All of my things that I've bought that are of quality have done well. So why would I buy anything else? So that's where I'm down to just double down and triple down.
I just sold all mine. I noticed that AJ follows me. Terrible judgment, AJ. I'm a total clown. I'm selling everything.
Anyway, well, awesome. But yeah, man, I really appreciate you coming on again, and we'll have to do a check-in. I feel like it's been basically a year since you came on last time.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to do it again.
Well, I'd love to come on and not chill, too, you know, just be a degen. So if we could do that sometime in the next, you know, few weeks or months. Like, I love all the questions. I'm so happy you guys – you know, first of all, like the praise and the love and the optimism means a ton. But yeah, obviously I'm the operator of Vayner Sports Pass. And I got a lot going on, but I am a DGen collector. I encourage anybody listening to call me out and gut check. You'll see, you know, buying Bored Apes the day after mint, you know, early punks, minting World of Women, all that. So, you know, take a look. I'm a DGen. I love it. It's the intersection of all the things that I love to do. So I'd love to come on and just be more of like a DJ with you guys and a collector, dude, and less of an operator on the next
one. You're welcome anytime, all the time.
Awesome. Let's plan one. I got the NFL draft in 2 weeks. We're gonna have a few first round picks for Vayner Sports that I'm excited about.
Let's go,
damn.
But then in May, I'd love to hop on and just be a collector with y'all.
Hell yeah, let's, man. Can't wait.
Awesome. Thanks everybody. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, AJ. AJ Vaynerchuk, ladies and gentlemen.
Bam, bam, bam.
Bow, bow, bow. All right, cool. Well, that was really fun. And Vayner Sports is going to the moon. Now that Nick bought it, of course. Yeah. And AJ popped into our Discord, so that's super cool too. Make sure you guys check out the portal. AJ Vaynerchuk owns it. What were you saying, Josh?
Nick buying might be a top signal. Not
that
not
that is true. It definitely could be.
Josh, I love it. Zinger.
Maybe you should dump yours. You do seem a little overexposed there.
Well, hey, we got Wappy on stage. Wappy, I got my hand out right now. Just want to give you just a firm handshake and look you right in the eyes and say thank you, sir, for putting Premen on my radar. I needed a big win like that. You've helped me out financially, emotionally, and spiritually. And just want to acknowledge you, brother. You're the man. High five. Firm handshakes all around.
Firm handshake right back. And I got to correct one thing on the weather report. Premen hit a 1.49 or 1.9469 floor last night. So sold out of all of mine at that nice above 1.8 level.
Hi, Ash.
Why do you sell them all? I mean, I feel like this.
Because it's a piece of software for like $6,000. It's a glorified Excel sheet and Google Cal.
It's true.
Let them know.
So, Josh, in case you don't know, this is Wappy. This is like who Wappy is. So Wappy was on the YouTube show yesterday with Easy, and without telling Wappy I was going to do it beforehand, I put him on the spot. I made him big on the screen on YouTube, and I asked him why he doesn't focus on content more, because I think he's really good at content and a lot of people would get value from it. Here he is on stage. So I guess he's maybe taking my comments to heart a little bit. Wappy, has anything changed since last night? Sounds like
he finally got a win. And that's what happened. He's been getting grumpy, Wappy. When Wappy gets grumpy, watch out, Open Sea, watch out, Cole. He starts going on Twitter rants. I'm glad Wappy got a win so everybody can chill out.
Well, Wappy, besides selling Premen, anything that you're looking at in the space right now since we talked yesterday?
I mean, since you talked to me yesterday, I mean, I thought about it. Like, I've been getting more into the mode of getting back to applying like a framework to what I'm looking at and not just ignoring the real world. So I'm doing like macro analysis again, and then trying to figure out like how that's going to bleed down into other markets. And that's going to include like crypto and what I think is going on with NFTs a little bit. So I'm potentially open to the idea of trying to like create some content around that and sharing kind of like my view into the research I'm doing to get kind of sentiment. But yeah, I mean, when like a piece of software runs up like 6K overnight, like you had to sell it. Like it was like 1 or 2 a.m. There was no listings. You have to assume very few people are up. You had to sell it. If you sold it last night, you could rebuy this morning and you're making 0.3.
But see, not everybody.
I disagree on that.
Yeah, and what I was going to say real quick, Josh, is not everybody's trading like your boy Sneaky Ninja Pants. Shout out to Sneaky Ninja Pants in the crowd. I invited you to the stage. Come on up here, Sneaky Ninja Pants. I'd love to talk to you. But not everyone's doing that kind of high-frequency trading. And the other thing is that I think the NFT space puts a major premium on like allow list access. And this is the allow list access NFT. And we already saw it with, I know it's only two, but regardless, it is two spots for Moonbirds from Proof Collective. And then there's also been a couple of other ones. Dolce & Gabbana has an exclusive, and I forget another project, Mems or something that people are speculating will be valuable. So, I mean, that's what I'm looking at with this one. Josh, what were you going to say?
Yeah, let me just reply here. And this is kind of a counterpoint. Look, Wappy, obviously, a lot of respect for your investment thesis. You and I don't share the same investment thesis, but I'm just going to put a counterpoint. Yes, you're right. Like, no one ever goes broke making 300% or 400%. You bought in at like 0.25. You exited probably a blended average of a 400% gain. Really big. My counterpoint is I think, you know, having a longer term horizon, if you're right on this, like, and you look at the individual wallets held by this, if this thing pumps, there's like 200 for sale. And I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I get zeroed out, but like, I feel like there's a universe that hits 5+ Ethereum. And if I'm right on that, rather than taking like a 3 or 4X, I'm taking like a 10 or 20X. And you know, I mean, I'm willing to let the bags ride. I'm willing to lose. I've lost a lot of money over the years, but I think that, you know, to me, when you've got something hot, I just don't like to exit my position fully.
That's definitely the
What he did though was he converted that that gain into entirely Vayner Sports Pass. That's my guess. What he's buying, he's getting on the money train, baby.
He's right by definition.
I mean, the moon. We're going to 10.
He sold at 1.9. I mean, he could probably get back at 1.5 if he really wants. I mean, I agree. I think I see a world where this could go to 5. I'm surprised it pumped for utility play so quickly. I do think Premint's the only name in town until someone comes up with Supermint and does the exact same code. And then there's there's no moat on the user end. There's no one that's buying or minting an NFT.
Disagree. Pre-mint.
No one's pre-minting because they clicked. It's 3 buttons. Like, no one is pre-minting because they use Premint on the user side. I mean, it's just like people, like, I use that. I use Airtable when it's up. Whatever pops up, I click 3 buttons and I move on. And I don't think that alone. No, I'm serious.
I know you're serious, but I think, I mean, look, Wappy, what are you going to say? The thing is that at the end of the day, the CEO of Premint really does seem to know what he's doing, and they've quickly emerged as the number one in their category. And I know we saw this with Genie before, and then Gem came in, and I know that we're seeing it a little bit with NFT Nerds now and Alpha Shark, but this one does feel like it has a bit of first mover advantage. Wappy, what were you going to say?
Here's what I'll say. I learned this with Full Send. Unique ownership distribution is not necessarily going to be a strong floor on the project. It means that there's more people who are going to see a floor rise, and they're going to rush to paper hand. You now have 7,000 people who are going to paper hand when it reaches a price that they think is too high.
See, okay. I see it the other way around, because if you
that's less
want to, here's where the difference is. If you build more value into this project, right? Like, what it is today is it has a network effect. So you're going to get better access to whatever it is. But the counterpoint that I see on this, and, you know, open to being wrong, is that if people actually want to use this, not to buy to speculate, not buy 30 of them, but to actually hold and use it, you end up with a level of stickiness. And like, I understand what Jesse is saying. It's like a replicable piece of software, and so is YouTube, right? Like, YouTube doesn't have any really proprietary algorithms that are exponentially better than like a Vimeo or something like that. But what you have is a two-sided network effect. And if you can get enough eyes and attention and interest into a category, and every single major drop is going through Premint because they have 2,000 plus projects that went through the track record, you end up with having a really high quality distribution channel. It becomes a semi-media arm. You have the software component, and then you have the two-sided network that coincides with it. And you end up having a lot of optionality on how you can build value. And it's not just like some bullshit piece of software, because Genie is, there's no switching cost to go from Genie to fucking whatever. But in this, there is a switching cost. And so I'm always looking at what the switching
cost. What is the switching cost? Because the user, the suppliers, they use it once. It's not like people, if people needed to pre-mint like once a week, I would see there being some sort of effect here, but it's like people just use it once and then they never use it again. So if
there's a multi-wallet aggregator in there that coincides with the switching cost. So it calculates all your wallets.
So, I mean, you can still plug those back in again. I mean, yes, it's a pain in the butt, but like so yes, there is, I guess, a switching cost greater than zero if you do that on the consumer side of things. Most people aren't interacting with Premint on a daily basis. Maybe it gets there. You both are correct. That's the outcome. Wappy's correct on a trade basis, and you're correct on a long-term investment standpoint. I actually think your position, Josh, is a far more risky one holistically in a space that's so nascent. To be making long-term bets is the most bold thing that you possibly can do in this space, because there's no telling where like the overall market of NFTs will be 3, 6, 9, 12 months from now. Maybe the whole thing implodes and we see a 90% drawdown on all prices across the board. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Is it likely? I don't know. But the bottom line is, I think both people are correct here. And Wappy made a trade where he made 400% in a week, which is a banger. And anybody's going to be happy to crush that. And then maybe, yeah, you'll hold on for a longer period of time. And on a portfolio basis, you'll see far greater returns. I think there's a lot of opportunity in this space right now, though. And if you're able to cash out that 400% and roll that into the next opportunity, then, you know, only time will tell who ends up, you know, yielding greater results.
Just give me 1 second for some breaking news. Breaking news, Sneaky Ninja Pants has bought a Nifty portal and has entered our Discord.
There we go.
Very exciting stuff. My question to you, Sneaky Ninja Pants, is number one, is this your way of saying, I don't want to come on stage and talk, but I like you? And my second question is, are you just going to list this thing for 0.24? Because I know how you get down, amigo. I know what's going on.
I was
going
to say, I'm surprised you bought one. Normally he buys 40 of something and then sells out 40 like 5 minutes later.
It shows that he's just like, I don't know what this is, but hey, why not? You know, we'd love to have you on stage, buddy. Awesome to have you in the Discord. I immediately gave you the alpha elite role, obviously. And all of our Discord's like fanboying right now, big time. Very, very cool stuff. All right. Well, Justin Fredericks, you've been on stage for a little bit.
Wait, hold on 1 second. You should provide the context. You've just been name dropping this guy. The reality is, but you didn't explain why that's the case. And I've never fully understood it either, but much respect to Sneaky Ninja Pants. Basically, P.O. gets alerts on Sneaky Ninja Pants, all of his trades. We actually post his wallet as well to our Mint Alert system, but I'm not sure if he's even a good signal or not. He's just very active in the minting space. So I'm curious, P.O., what drove you to actually, identify him as the top trader?
Well, it's the volume. Like, he's trading all the time. And he just said in the Discord, his answer is he's on his computer, but he'll come on stage soon. So maybe tomorrow, I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to stay in contact with him. He's in our Discord now. But Nick, to answer your question, right? There's different categories of wallets to track, right? If you track like a whale wallet, that might not be the best thing because they buy everything and that's not a good indicator. If you track the NFT influencers that definitely do insider trading, those are the best. Those are the absolute best ones to follow, right? Because you're just like, huh, like so-and-so bought a Meebit randomly. I wonder why. And then what a surprise. The next day, the news comes out and the Meebit's 2X, right? But with following someone like Sneaky Ninja Pants, you just see a lot of volume. Like I'll cite specifically, I think it was Murray, if I recall correctly. All the guys in Metaverse HQ, they all at the same time bought Murray at 0.41. So that was like a very good indicator for me. I was like, okay, cool. There's interest in this. And then that was like Murray's pump, you know, kind of sequence. And if I recall correctly, I feel like Sneaky Ninja Pants traded Murray like 5 times, like up and down, just like traded the hell out of it. I just like to pay attention to who's really active and who's participating. And I'd love to have Sneaky Ninja Pants come on the show so I can ask him some questions about trading.
I absolutely love that context. And I think it paints an effective picture of the type of effort that we're putting into monitoring the market, as well as the absolute stupidity that's involved with it. But in all honesty, that is something that provides context. So thanks for sharing that, because I don't think most people necessarily know who Sneaky Ninja Pants is.
Yeah, I guess I have to remind myself that I'm so deeply immersed in this space. It's just like unhealthy. Like, you know, I have no social life. I don't have a relationship. I have big pit bull, so that's pretty cool. But I've been living under the same roof as Nick for 30 days here in a random location in the country of Massachusetts. Hey, Benjamin, I see you buying that Nifty portal. Let's go. I feel like I went to a Jay-Z concert once, like 10 years ago. And at the end of the show, he just pointed to everybody that was wearing Rock-Aware clothes and was like, hey, yo, shawty in the Rock-Aware sweatshirt, I see you. And, you know, like, that's how I feel right now. I just see people buying Nifty portals and I'm calling them out.
You and Jay-Z have a lot in common. I will say that. Very similar. In terms of your empire building, rap skills, and everything else, completely agree. I was just going to say, yeah, to paint the picture fully, like sitting in the living room, literally doing nothing, and P.O. will get an alert. Oh, my God, Sneaky Ninja Pants is minting something all of a sudden. I'm like, okay, like, all right. Like, does this require us doing something?
I know that is the funniest by Nick. Yo, we got Micah G that just requested to speak. Micah G is a top 500 wallet that is followed on Ninja Alert. So like out of all the wallets in the NFT space through that app, Micah G's wallet is top 500. He also won the one ETH challenge. He's basically just smarter than me. What's going on, Micah G?
How's it going? Love the intro. Yeah, my comment was going to be about the pre-mint stuff. And just the idea that, like, it's just something to be cautious about. I think I'm more on Wappy's side here, because I think it's something to be cautious about, which is that, you know, the market that we're in where things can sort of pre-sell themselves many times over, right? So 10,000 supply and 50,000 people are lining up to give them their money. I think that's an interesting market to be in. I don't think that's always going to be the market. And I'm kind of looking back to like a year from now or a year ago when even these amazing projects were not selling out immediately. And then they sort of had to prove themselves. And that was a healthy market, right? Having people just throwing money at stuff that hasn't come out yet or hasn't proven anything is not a super sustainable market. So, you know, Premium only makes sense when there's a ton of people lining up to give their money to a project that hasn't released yet. So I think that raffle system does kind of only work in certain markets and only holds value when we're in that market. So I think that's just something to be cautious about. And that's why I would more be on Wappy's side of like, if you can 400X in a week, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah, you sold Cool Cats at 0.2 though, didn't you?
No, 0.02. believe me, I said I'd do a whole show. I think I've told the Discord all of the insane stuff I've done. But you know what? I sleep well at night. I sleep fine.
You also sold, yeah, I know you do it, and you're a badass. You also sold World of Women at what price? But you made a bag off of it, but what price was that?
I was buying World of Women at 0.05, and I gave away 8 of them. But I sold... I sold 30 of them total, you know, between like one ETH, two ETH, stuff like that. But I also sold one of the ones that gets you royalties. Like there were like 16 that gets you part of the royalties for World of Women.
Like 16 total out of 10,000?
Yeah, it's like 16 of it's 16 of these NFTs and they split 2% of the total royalties from OpenSea every month. I sold it really early. I bought it really cheap. I sold it really early for like a 20X. But now that thing probably brings in like 10 Ethereum a month.
Wow.
So yeah, you know, but you know what? I sleep fine at night. You're not always going to hit the absolute tippy top on stuff. And the fact that World of Women blew up and Cool Cats blew up is not something you know in that moment. So just like keeping that situation of like, we are in a, you know, delicate market. I just think it's important to know that, right? Premint could have a great product and do everything right. But if the macro we're in is not tons of people lining up with their Ethereum ready to give it to a new project, then having that inside lane to a raffle doesn't help you. So I just think keeping that like sobriety when you're making these trades can help you not get wrecked. So
very sober words.
Yeah,
very
sober words from Micah G. I'm not, you know, I'm still having fun out here. I'm buying some things, but yeah, I just think with pre-mint, that's the danger. Of course, I didn't buy it at 0.3 when I heard you guys talking about it. So maybe I'm not the smartest person on pre-mint, but that's just my thinking on it.
You missed one, Justin Fredericks. You've been patiently waiting. What's going on?
Yeah, guys, I just wanted to expand a little bit on Josh's comments about tiny dinos, because it's really indicative, not just...
You brought those up on this show a few days ago. You were the first person to bring those up on this show.
Well, so check this out. It's not just a degen play. It's indicative of a much larger market trend, in my opinion. So here's... if just to put in perspective, if you bought one ETH worth of tiny dinos a week ago, today your ROI would have been 34 ETH. So the reason why this project, and I'll mention a few others that are along this trend, is they're a group of what are called omni-chain projects. So they're one step closer to interoperability, where they're minting across a few different blockchains, from Arbitron to Phantom to Ethereum to Polygon, etc. And they have a very easy mechanic to traverse them over to the other blockchains. Now, eventually, since most of the volume is occurring on OpenSea Ethereum, they mostly get there. So there are some key arbitrage plays where you could actually buy them on Phantom or on ARB or even on OpenSea Polygon and move them over. And there, I can post a link. They actually make it really easy to move over. There's a little bit of a fee when you move it over, so you just have to factor that in. but all of these kind of omni-chain projects have been soaring. So Tiny Dinos, the first one was actually Ghostly Ghost, which is right now trading about 0.5, 0.6. There's a brand new one.
And that was a free mint, right? Yeah. In our Discord, one of the guys in our Discord, his name is Cryptopolis. Cryptopolis, if you're listening, come on stage, dude. Like, I want to hear from you because you buy everything apparently and then diamond hand it, even if it's total degen stuff.
And there's a brand new one. There's a brand new one that looks like it's getting volume now called Omni Mosquitoes. So it's and so it's a mosquito based PFP. The Tiny Dinos had a big pump and they're still going because right after Satoshi and the MFers really got behind it, because these omni chain projects also kind of are mostly CCO. So a lot of the CCO community is getting behind them too. So the underlying technology is layer zero tech, and then which allows for this interoperability. And then Tofu NFT is the marketplace that allows for that, like basically one click port over from ARB to ETH to wherever you want. So they're really, really interesting plays, and I see it as a much larger market trend.
Nick, what were you going to say?
I've been hating so much. Or when I guess when you came on stage last time, I was like, I don't remember my exact words, but the gist of it was cross-chain. That's some bullshit. Here we are. It's absolutely killing it. And so good call on that. I still don't fully grok the cross-chain aspect of things. That said, I actually been saying, I had said for a long time that Bored Ape Yacht Club would need to do something similar, where like if you're going to migrate these NFTs around, then that's something you're going to need to be able to utilize them in other ecosystems. On the flip side of that coin, no one in their right mind is going to want to like put their Bored Ape onto like to bridge across a chain somewhere, because that's just a massive like security risk, and there's a lot of other issues. So I mean, that said, most NFTs are not hundreds of thousands of dollars, but that's something that I see as sort of an issue, is that like there needs to be some way where you can like verify your ownership of it, but now it's the obligation of the other chain or the bridge to monitor your wallet. But that also just creates scalability issues as well. And that's also, given that blockchains are immutable, it makes things much more complicated.
Yeah, look, for like an established project like Bored Apes, I don't necessarily see it as valuable. For newer projects, the reason why it could be valuable is, you know, we have a big, like, you know, supply demand. That's the major issue, right? In NFTs, there's way more supply than there is demand. So even if you have these like pockets, let's say, of, you know, huge ARB or Phantom fans, etc., like if you can increase, you know, even if it's like at a small scale from an ecosystem standpoint, but could be significant from like a single project standpoint, and you increase the, you know, demand across chain, that's where it could get a little interesting. By the way, just another note that's just timely today, that I think later today the Super Plastic Bored Ape Yacht Club vinyls come out, so get on that. I think there's a 15-minute window.
Very it's tomorrow. It's that's happening tomorrow.
Is that tomorrow? Okay.
Yeah.
Josh, you were going to add something?
Yeah. So when you look at the interoperability, there's kind of like this trifecta of things that go with every blockchain. You have something that is secure, something that's fast, and something that's affordable. The challenge is you can only pick two. So you can have something that's secure and fast, but expensive. That's Ethereum. You can have something like Solana, which is not as secure, but it's fast and affordable. So the way that you'll typically see things migrate into the future is, my guess is that you'll have a verification of ownership. Your Bored Ape is going to stay on the secure ecosystem. But if you're looking to play like Monkey Million games or something like that, you're going to have the verification that you hold the Bored Ape, but then you're going to have child NFTs that might operate on Solana. So when you look at the Look Labs ecosystem, you can see they're kind of doing something like this that's slightly different, where there's a staking mechanism. Then you're looking at, I mean, they're all in layer one, but you're going to probably want to have something where you retain ownership, but you have to verify that it's continuously held in your wallet. And then you have because you don't need to be moving your Bored Ape around, you know, 30 times. But if you want to play a game, whatever the game would be, you need moving pieces that can be transferred very quickly. And inherently, you want those pieces to be lower value because the other ecosystems are just not as secure. So the reality is Ethereum works really, really well for collectibles. But when you start to get into game theory, you're going to want to move into a chain that has a lower transactional cost. But you also want to keep in mind that if something gets to a very, very high price point, you want to be a little cautious of having, you know, something on the Solana ecosystem that might be worth $2 million.
Hey, Justin, I just wanted to say that's a super great point. And Aave is doing something similar. They just announced where basically they're kind of cross-chain because they'll allow you to deposit assets in ETH on the Ethereum blockchain, I mean, and then borrow against that from another chain. And so that is their new innovation. But seeing it in NFTs already happen is kind of funny because NFTs kind of took the DeFi summer 2.0 away from DeFi. So anyways, it's definitely a trend to your point, Justin. It's something we should all be looking out for.
So Justin, I just bought one of these Omni mosquitoes. Am I rich now?
Yeah, just wait a week, 34 ETH.
Did you? So you bought these?
I bought a few of these Omni mosquitoes. So the cool thing about for me at least, the Omni chain aspect is that when I was just kind of exploring them and looking at the other chains, like, you know, Phantom, et cetera, and which I really had no experience with prior to this. And then I was, you know, buying some there and then learning how to port it over. Effectively at the end of it, I just realized, wow, I kind of just went through a process of like learning to earn. It's like a learn to earn process because you're kind of exploring these other chains. And if you put in the time and effort to then buy them at a lower price on the other chains, port them over for some like arbitrage play, then you're, you know, it's effectively teaching me more about the blockchain while I'm actually earning revenue. So I like that capability of it. I bought a couple of Omnis on one of my wallets on ETH, and then I bought a couple on Poly, because if you look on OpenSea, there's an Omni Mosquitoes Poly, which is trading at about 0.02 right now, while the ETH is 0.056. But right now the transaction cost to get it over will be about, it'll kind of be break even. Maybe you'll make a little bit, but you might be able to find more rare traits on the Poly version. Yeah.
Okay. And Jesse, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of abridge two things. One, today is Frenzies, and Frenzies is a very odd case. I think in general, how it's kind of played out with a couple of missteps, but also with where the market is. I mean, you can see this kind of taking off. If there's some trends, you could see it just kind of flopping around for a while. But I just wanted to pivot from the, because I had bought some I'm bitter about pre-mint because I was actually on the pre-mint and it got screwed up. So I was so bitter about it because they wouldn't, they basically, it didn't work on mobile, so I couldn't get mine. But I sold my pre-mints at a nice profit because I really needed ETH at the time, right? And then of course BFFs dropped, so I ended up, you know, the same degen thing. I bought a bunch of BFFs, so it was basically a wash for me. But I've been talking about BFF for a while. It's like at 1.6 now.
You were talking about it at 1 ETH for sure, maybe earlier, but for sure at 1 ETH, and that was such an obvious play considering all the passes that we're doing. You know, like between the Vayner Sports Pass, the Premium Pass, you know, all this different stuff. That one was probably one of the most obvious.
And it could, I mean, I said it was going to 2 ETH. That is financial. That was financial advice. I mean, if you just look at, because we're in like utility land, if you look at the people who are involved with this project. It's just like, it's not even a murderer's row. It's just, it's the whole industry. It's Kate Hudson, Mila Kunis, Gwyneth Paltrow, Lee Jin, who's the woman when it comes to direct-to-consumer media, Randy Zuckerberg, Swan Sit. I mean, like Katie Staton, a lot of these venture capital monsters that you might not know, but if you added up their Twitter count, like you, I don't even know where you'd end up with the number. I mean, if any of these other female projects had one of these people, it would be like an all-day Twitter fest. Oh, thank you for joining the blah, blah, blah. Like, it's so pathetic how thirsty all these accounts are. But we're talking about like 50 power women who are already involved in this project. And they keep teasing utility, but it's going to 2 ETH. Everything I say is financial advice. why else would I be giving it? And it's not only is it financial advice, it's financial advice backed by the full faith and credit of the Nifty Alpha Treasury. I think that's right. Right, Theo?
Yeah, what, that's totally right.
Sure.
Now, what's the price?
It's like 1.65. It's wow. Yeah, 1.6,
it was at like 1.7. 0.2 something for a while, wasn't it?
No, I think it was 0.5. They did a weird airdrop, and some people were kind of annoyed with that. Like, why didn't I get one? Like, I own all the women. I have no idea how they decided that, but I think it was 0.5, 0.8. Same thing. It's kind of like the pre-mint. Like, it has great owner ratio, very few listings, and they're going to do their PFP project in a couple of weeks. So just... You know, maybe too high now, but if it dips again below 1.5, it's still a possible buy.
Well,
it's definitely going to 2 ETH in my opinion.
It was so obvious at 1 ETH. It was like one of the most obvious plays in the space, like I said. So we have Bell NFTs on stage, very, very valued member of the Nifty community. What's going on, Bell?
Good morning. Hey, on the heels of BFF, obviously that's a really, really good one. But Jesse just mentioned you would be wanting to pull, you know, to get into another one that included any of these other people. Well, Hug, the one by Randy Zuckerberg, is minting on Friday the 15th. This is her alpha group and the incubator group. She's got a couple of them already on there. Curious Addies, Women and Weapons, Women Rise, a couple of other ones that have been put on later. But I'm super interested to see where this is going to go. Right now, at this point, you can't get on the whitelist. It's already been closed. The passes, so it was a text message thing, very, very similar to BFF. You have to sign up with a text message, and then you got something dropped to you, I think. And then you are able to mint your membership pass this Friday. So I'm really curious to see how it's going to go, because those that are priced out of BFF are going to be looking at this one. Randy is part of both projects.
What's the value proposition there? I know she's got kind of the little incubator group.
Yep.
What's the value proposition that you get from owning the pass?
Super.
From supporting Randy.
Well, it's super. So it's supposed to be like a very women-led alpha group, if you will. You'll have access to hop into their Discord or their Telegram to see the things that they are looking at just within themselves. They're going to be having it by different phases. And so if you're able to get into this phase right now, then you'll have the capability of doing the research and like being able to post your research and provide the alpha. Much later down the line, I think that in the last quarter of 2022,
do we need a central
anyone
bank
else that's not a member
US
will be able to access that information. Right, but right now, the ones that are curating and the ones that are doing the research and providing the alpha, you have to have this membership pass for.
So there's your value prop, Josh. But what I was going to say is I think a lot of people, you know, they thought that the video that Randy did was a little bit cringe. And maybe that's kind of like something that's distracting people from a no-brainer that is buying her project. Because obviously I doubt that it's a rug pull. So, Belle, thank you for bringing that up. That's totally something, you know, to look at. Do we know the price on that?
It's going to be at 0.06.
Point zero six.
But remember, you have to have the membership pass. So at this point, if you don't have it, that's what you're getting it for. You're getting one free for if you already have the membership pass on Friday.
And then then
you can get up to two more at 0.06. But I'm really curious to see how the secondary market is going to take place on this.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting to see. Is there anything else that you're looking at, Belle?
I just staked my Elogics. That one gives you goop in order to then pay for whitelist. So I think that's pretty interesting. And then tomorrow is Galaverse, and I love their art. So hopefully I can get that one. Yeah.
That's a big one. I think we gave away at least 200 spots in our Discord for Galverse, but I'd have to ask Eric. I think it might actually be like 300 when it's all said and done. So shout out to all the people in the Nifty Discord, the portal holders that received a allow list spots for Galverse. They did some really cool one of ones. They did a one of one for Betty. They did a one of one, I believe, for Gremlin. Betty from Deadfellas, that is. They did a one of one for Sarah Script, who is a Nifty portal holder and valued member of our community, and I see Sarah in the audience right now, so shout out to Sarah. But yeah, everyone, thank you for listening. What a cool episode today with AJ Vaynerchuk. This show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern. You can also catch it on Apple Podcasts. Just type in NFT Alpha on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. We're on YouTube too. We're on TikTok. We're on all the different platforms. And make sure you check out a portal. Shout out to our sponsor, FTX. We'll do a longer read in tomorrow's episode about FTX, but definitely sign up on mobile with the code THENIFTY or go to thenifty.com/FTX. Shout out to our valued sponsor. And thanks everyone for coming, man. Oh, Nick, you got something to add? What's up?
I did before you went off on that whole rant. Now it sounds like a weird timing for me to introduce this, but I was just going to say, I was thinking as I'm listening to all these things, I just dropped 1.5 ETH on the Vayner Sports Pass, but I was thinking about it like, at some point we got to discuss pacing in here, like how you actually pace and better, more proper portfolio management. Cause you can't be like flipping this stuff all the time. Like it's just exhausting. And everyone's like, oh, Nick made his fourth trade of the year. Yeah, I'll take that role. And I'm going to end up making more money than most of the idiots flipping into some random garbage. That said, you know, shout out to those who won whatever that pixel art cross chain, whatever the hell you call it is. Y'all are the real winners here. I didn't win that on that one. I never at this point would actually have ended up buying that at this point. So I'm out of that game. Yo, shout out to everybody who can't play along with all of it. I'm right there with you.
Okay. Thanks for that, Nick. Everyone,
you're welcome.
Hey, we will catch you guys tomorrow morning.